Hi, Shavuot Tov. This is Yisachar Wartel, Parshat Lech Lecha. And I wanted to speak a little bit about the Parsha, as I often do. And I appreciate you guys listening. I like to try and give over some novel insights, and let's see how today goes. So it's all about the covenant. It's all about the Brit, or is it? The language of Brit, the Bris, as many people call it, is used various times throughout the Torah in conjunction with keeping, meaning the root of Shamar, Shin Mem Resh, as well as remembering, Zayin, Chaf, Resh, Zachar, or establishing or upholding, Hakim, right, or Kam. The language of Kam, which means the cause to stand up, actually occurs with the word Briti, my covenant, 8 times in the Torah. 3 times by Noah, 3 times by Abraham, 2 times by Moshe. Of the 3 times to both Noach and Abraham, 2 of each are expressed as Vahakimoti et Briti, right? Those words probably sound pretty familiar, which can be translated as I will establish my covenant or I will uphold my covenant. But in reality, the language of Kam connotes actually both of these meanings. Perhaps this is why it is expressed in this form twice, right? Not just once, but twice. Hashem establishes a covenant with Noach that he will save Noach from the flood, yet this is a time-based covenant. It seemingly only exists until the flood ends. For after that, the covenant's not really relevant so much, right? I mean, Hashem, you know, says that he's not going to destroy the world again, but it's not, you know what I mean? It's still like a kind of like a one-time thing, not an ongoing thing, right? After the flood, Hashem affirms this covenant that not only was Noah saved, but his descendants will now flourish. So this is an extension. Because first it was just, okay, this was the world. It's over now. We're restarting, but I'm not going to destroy it again. And then he says, oh, not only that, but Noah, I'm going to continue the lineage from you, and it's going to keep going. Your descendants are now going to multiply and fill the earth, which is now being, in a sense, redone. So that's an extension of the original covenant. And therefore, Hashem does not use the opening statement of Hakimoti et Briti, but rather uses the pasuk or phrase, Vani hinini mekim et Briti etchem. Behold, I will uphold, right? So he uses mekim instead of hakim. Hakim, right? I mean, it's almost it's the same general root, but the phraseology or the general construct, even though the tense is the same. So immediately afterwards, then Hashem issues a new covenant that he will never destroy the world again with a flood, which, although parallels the initial one, in a sense, really is kind of a new covenant, since it is for the new part of the world, meaning for the duration of the world, however long that is. There will never again be a destructive flood. As this is a new covenant, he again uses the word Vahakimoti et Briti. Again, although it is a new covenant, it does parallel the first, and then it makes sense that it has the same or similar language. Moving on to this week's Parsha, in Perek Zion, Avram's name is changed to Avraham, and Art Scroll appropriately calls this paragraph, sorry, I'm a little tongue-tied, new names and a new destiny. For Abraham, as he is now called, is about the father Yitzchak and begin the development of the Jewish people. In Pasuk Zayin, Hashem states, "Vahakimoti et Briti beini uveincha uvein zerecha acharecha l'doratam brit olam, and I will establish my covenant between me and you, between your son and between the children after you, for the generations as an eternal covenant." It is at this point that Hashem commands the ultimate symbol of the covenant, which is the Brit Milah, or Bris Milah, as we colloquially call it, circumcision, and the promise of a son, other than Yishmael, meaning a son that will endure a stronger legacy, is given to both Abraham and Sarah. And after they seemingly doubt this, Hashem then reassures them, "Vahakimoti et Briti ito lebrit olam. I will establish it with him as an eternal covenant," meaning it will lead to the Jewish people and ultimately go through eternity. So not only will Hashem continue his covenant with Abraham, but he will renew this covenant with Yitzchak. Right? So, meaning that it's not that it just starts with Abraham and then kind of runs its course. Hashem will renew the covenant with Yitzchak and then renew the covenant again with Yaakov, as we say in our tefillah, but you know, Afed Yaakov, Afed et Yitzchak, but Avram, I'm not recalling the precise language offhand. And Hashem continues that although Yishmael will also flourish and he will take part of the blessing of Avram's covenant, the covenant will only truly be upheld through Yitzchak's line, as it says in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, "Ve'et Briti Akim et Yitzchak," and I will, my covenant I will uphold with or through Yitzchak. It's one thing to be promised something, but to see it happen makes it worth so much more. Once Yitzchak was born and he grew up and developed in the way of Abraham, Abraham knew that this promise was fulfilled. But as Yitzchak also had a righteous son and a wicked son, he too had to be promised the covenant. This was actualized through the development of Yaakov. Yaakov, however, did not need the same type of covenant, as all of his children were righteous. So the covenant was a little bit different. The next time a new covenant would actually be needed, a truly new covenant, was when the Jewish people would cease to be merely a family, but would be becoming a nation. And therefore, it's understandable that the next time that this lashon of Hakimoti et Briti comes up is mentioned in Parshat Va'era, where Hashem is about to reveal his plans for Yetziat Mitzrayim, and hence the birth of a nation, as they would be exiting Mitzrayim and receiving the Torah. So, however, the promise here is not the freedom of the Jews, but the ultimate purpose of their redemption, which is the inheritance and settling of the land of Israel, obviously in addition to getting the Torah. The final time this language of Hakimoti et Briti is used is actually much later. It's in Parshat Bichlkotai, so all the way at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, where prior to the Tochacha, which is the list of rebukes and punishments, Hashem states, "Hakimoti et Briti etchem, I will establish my covenant with you, or uphold my covenant with you." Rashi explains that this is a new covenant that can never be annulled. Right? So we'll see what that means. No matter what troubles the Jewish people will face, no matter how severe the punishments they receive throughout the generations, over and over and over again, there'll be trials and tribulations, they will always exist and they will always be in Am Segula. So not only will they exist and in just pure function and existence and just being on the earth, but they will always be in Am Segula. They'll always be treasured. They'll always be Hashem's chosen people. They will always endure as a special nation and the most special nation. And it's interesting to note that in this instance, the word vehakimoti has an extra yud. The letter yud connotes spiritual perfection and also eternity. And part of that is symbolized by the way that it rises above and doesn't touch the ground like the other letters do. A new dimension has now been added to all of the previous covenants that Hashem has made, starting from Noach all the way downward. For without the yud, the root of the word can be seen as calm, which means to arise or keep risen. But with yud, it can be seen as kayam, which means to not only fulfill, but to endure. So not only will it arise or stay risen, it will permanently stay risen, right? It won't just be for a little bit of time. It'll fulfill all the way throughout eternity. It will endure. It will stay heightened, if you will. It will stay risen. So no matter what we do, Hashem will never forsake us, right? We are always the Am Segula. We're always the treasured nation. And he will, in a sense, endure any sins we commit. So that might mean he has to then endure or make us fulfill part of this definition of the covenant, which is to endure hardships in order to make sure that we endure, meaning we have to sometimes go through tests and trials and tribulations in order for us to be kept in check, which is part of a very, very long and potentially controversial, although I agree with it, lecture by Reuven Susan, which is, if you're on the level, it's absolutely astounding, but it is a little shocking at the same time, and it talks about the role of anti-Semitism as a means to actually help keep us on track, which is a very interesting topic, and certainly not going to talk about it, or not that I feel I can even do it justice or feel that I have the right to talk about it, but it nonetheless is something fascinating. But nonetheless, either way, Hashem will, whether he causes us or allows us to endure hardships, he ultimately will keep us as the Am Segula and will hold up, meaning he will keep his end of the bargain as his eternal covenant until the end of time, right? As we say, by Kimoti et Briti, not just with Abraham, not just with Yitzchak, not just with Yaakov, but for all of mankind, stemming down from Noah throughout the generations to the Jewish people, and ultimately until the times of Mashiach, times of Olam Haba, and beyond, to bring light to the nations, light to the world, and to fulfill everything that all the Jewish people were meant to be. Shabbat Shalom.